live. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Cause every minute, every hour, you'll be shaken by the strange and mighty power.
Yesterday, the NBA regular season came to a close right here on KOAL. Kind of sad that that was the final broadcast for the Utah Jazz this season. They fall to the Los Angeles Lakers. Utah, of course, on the outside looking into the play-in round, and that's what we're gearing up for. Tomorrow, we get an East and West matchup. Wednesday, we get an East and West matchup. And then come Friday, we are off and rolling. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that, we have James Holis. He's half of the Dunk Tales pod. James, always a pleasure to get you on, and here we are. It's playoff time.
Oh, boy, we're ready. We are ready.
As far as the top 10 is concerned, best place to start would be with tomorrow night's matchups. Playing round, East 7 versus 8. We get Atlanta at Miami. West, we get Minnesota and the Lakers. There's a million storylines to talk about with the Lakers and Timberwolves. But I want to start by looking at Atlanta and Miami. I actually like this matchup quite a bit.
They're both very flawed teams in very different ways, and it's going to make a very interesting stylistic fight. As we do know, Miami hangs their hat basically on, you know, the Heat culture and their will and their grit and Jimmy Butler. So I think Miami has the best player in the series in Jimmy Butler. I think that the Miami is like the culture and the way they play and their trust in each other is probably on a different level than Atlanta's. Atlanta's been all offense, no defense. They have their own issues, coaching change, midway through the season. So it's definitely not, it's not the marquee, but it'll be interesting. I think so.
You know, maybe in my mind, I kind of have this thought going back to, we'll go back to Rocktober. Colorado Rockies back in 2008 go on this incredible postseason run. They get to the World Series where they lose to the Boston Red Sox. But it seems like ever since then, people have it in their brain. Hey, if this team gets to the playoffs, we've seen what they can do. It's magical. We're not that far removed from an Atlanta Hawk team actually putting together a pretty stellar run in the postseason. I don't know if this is the same team. In fact, I know it's not the same team, but maybe that's in the back of my mind. Like, if this team gets hot, maybe they can make a little hay. The difference is, once you get out of the play-in round of the East, 1, 2, 3, and 4, heads and tails better than anyone else in the conference.
Ooh, you think even 4? Who's number 4? Cleveland. Definitely, yep. Yeah, definitely a quality team. So, yeah, my thing with Atlanta is that, sure, a couple years ago they made that conference run, but since then they've been abysmal. They got throttled by the Heat 1 year. Next year they got throttled by the Heat. They made Trae Young look very, very average. They lost probably their best shooter their best, most consistent shooter in Huerter. I'm not the biggest fan. Hey, DeJounte Murray is fine, but this is a weird fit with Trae Young. Trae, the coach killer, is, I think he's probably been exposed just a little bit. He tried to skip steps. Steph Curry is the greatest. He padded the game after that, but he does not have all of the other fundamentals down the way that Steph does, and it makes a difference. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of Trae Young. I'm not a big fan of the Hawks as currently constituted. I think they tremendously misuse John Collins. They should be better than they are. And a team kind of is what it is sometimes. Same thing with the Heat. They also have the same reputation, like you said. Hey, get them to the playoffs. Playoff Jimmy. But they're flawed. They don't have enough shooting. Their defense comes and goes. Bam and Jimmy are two really nice pieces, but I think they're both meant to be second stars on a really good team. So, it'll definitely be interesting.
I agree with everything you just said about the Miami Heat, specifically when we look at their two stars. I agree 100%. James, let's move on. We'll talk about the other game, Minnesota at L.A. In the summertime, you and I remember you hopped on the show. We talked about the Jazz and the Minnesota trade, and it was really just, it was a huge wave, and it reset the market, and I felt it was a terrific call for the Jazz. I did not see Minnesota being this awful. When you look at it now on paper, this has the potential of being the worst trade in the history of the NBA. And I know that sounds like hyperbole, right? I'm not being a prisoner of the moment. I truly believe this. It has the ability of being one of the worst trades that we have ever seen when you look at the amount of pieces that were involved. Of course, you have Vlade for Kobe. There's a million trades we can think of at the top of my head. But when I look at all the pieces that come with it, okay, 6-player deal. Minnesota sends out Malik Beasley, Pat Bev, Walker Kessler. Jared Vanderbilt, four first-round picks, and those picks are unprotected first-rounders in 2023, 2025, and 2027. Comes out today, Rudy Gobert will be suspended for tomorrow's game with the Lakers. Yeah, I mean, that has to go down as one of the worst moves in the history of the NBA, hands down.
I asked this question yesterday on Twitter, like, can we think of, especially recently, a worse trade? And the picks really send it over the edge. The players alone, if Minnesota just had Vanderbilt, Kessler, Malik Beasley, they are miles better than they are right now, because we see what Kessler is, and that kid, he brings almost all the best things that Rudy Gobert does at a fraction of the price. As far as shot, you know, just shot blocking, rim running, smart kid. So, like, it's insane how Rudy Gobert being in the right system in Utah, and he was genuinely great for what they did, but, like, it severely overinflated him and got him overrated. And, you know, this was a game 82, must-win game. They're down, and Rudy Gobert, just the day before, was quoted in an article about how, even though Kyle might be aggressive with the way he talks to us, we don't take it personally because it's about wanting us to be best. And the very next day, he comes out and he swings at him. This might be a franchise destroying almost type trade, because they set them being Minnesota set themselves so far back by giving up the whole farm for a player that's so limited.
Okay, now we can compound all the problems with Gobert with the idea that Jaden McDaniels is also out because he punched a wall on his way to the locker room at halftime and he fractured his hand. Now, I think it's fair to make the argument that the way things have gone, the Timberwolves will miss Jaden McDaniels more than they will Rudy Gobert. However, when you combine the two, this is an epic disaster, and this is a team that might not get into the playoffs.
100%, especially with the way the Lakers have been playing. I think the Lakers went 18-10 after the trade deadline or something
yep.
like that,
yep.
and they've looked really, really good for the most part. LeBron James seemed like he's in rare offensive form. That was a nice little warm-up game for him the other night when he hit, 8 threes?
Yep.
This is one team, maybe a perfect storm of one team coming in at the worst possible time. They lost their two best defenders. Like you said, I think losing Rudy might have just by himself would have been almost a blessing in disguise, because they know one would just call into town. You put Vanderbilt at power forward, and you got this. You know, it's a different kind of beast. But then the Lakers are kind of humming right now and at the top of their game, unless they're all relatively healthy. That it might be over pretty quickly. And unless my one thing I will say is we saw that Minnesota kind of circled the wagons and galvanized and had a spirited comeback against what's been a kind of plucky New Orleans team the other day. So that maybe this is kind of this is definitely a long shot as far as Lakers have to be considered the favorite. But they are facing a team that's back against the wall. Anthony Edwards is the ultimate wild card. Let's see.
Speaking of the Lakers, they go in as the 7 seed. They finished 43-39. Fairly amazing when you consider this was a team that started 2-10. Trade deadline moves, obviously. They were one of the best teams in the Western Conference post-trade deadline. If I'm not mistaken, they went 16-7, I want to say, something like that, post-trade deadline, 15-7. One of the best teams in the West at that particular time, which is not saying much because I think the Western Conference has been really abysmal. However, James, I look at it now shaping up. The Lakers get a Minnesota team that's in massive turmoil. If they win this, they go in as 7, they get Memphis, who will not have Steven Adams. Let's say they get past Memphis. They would get either Sacramento or Golden State, and I like them in that matchup against either of those two teams. You talked about this team peaking at the right time. I'm not saying they win it all. I'm not saying they win the West, but I'm saying this is one of the more dangerous 7 seeds that I can remember in quite some time.
Yeah, they, like I said, me and you beat the drum a lot this year. They needed more depth, they needed more athleticism, and they went out and got at the trade deadline, and voila, everything changed the way like a lot of people thought it would. So good on them. And again, Steven Adams is out, but then also Brandon Clark is out. Another big boon for them. And you know what? It's not a diss on them. Winning a championship is going to be equal parts talent, luck, as far as staying non-injured, and maybe injury luck the other side. And right now, the Lakers seem like everything's kind of lining up. Like you said, definitely the Sacramento defense has been abysmal, and even as good as they've been offensively, I think the Lakers, like you said, currently as constructed, I'm taking Lakers over Sacramento. And Golden State would be the ultimate wild card, right? Because of those two flamethrowers, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and Jordan Poole to a lesser extent. That's where I think the main disadvantage with the Lakers comes in, is that, sure, Anthony Davis is great, and they are better as on the perimeter, but they have no weapon to combat and really to defend Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Jordan Poole. And that's where the three-pointer is such the equalizer, right? That's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I can throw Golden State in this conversation as well. In my mind, the three best teams in the West, when healthy, it's Denver, it's Phoenix, and it's the Clippers. I think those are the three best teams in the Western Conference when healthy. If you are Golden State or the Lakers, and I don't know that they're far out of that equation of being within that top three, one of the things you have to be smiling at, the Suns and Clippers, one of those two teams is gone in the opening round. And then after that, more than likely, the winner of that series gets Denver, which means another one of those two teams gone. Right? So I feel like the Lakers and the Warriors set themselves up beautifully, being 6-7.
You can say set themselves up. You can say fell into a pretty decent situation, because we know this wasn't on purpose.
Sure.
Both franchises would have loved to have been better this year. They might have turned out to be, like you said, again, a blessing in disguise, where they, you know, if things break just right for them, they'll have a relatively easier path. A lot of their competition will knock each other out before getting to them. But my main issue, especially when the Lakers, is going to be health. Right, we know, man. All it takes is a rolled ankle, and Anthony Davis is shelved. We know LeBron James, as great as he is when he's on the court, he's not the same indestructible force he used to be. We've seen it: the quads, the foot, different things. So that's going to be the real challenge, is for both of those guys to play big minutes and also to stay on the court.
Let's talk about the 9-10 matchups in the East. We get Toronto, Chicago. In the West, we get New Orleans and Oklahoma City. I actually love the Western Conference matchup. I think New Orleans and Oklahoma City is going to be fantastic. Not necessarily in love with what we have going in the East as far as the 9-10. I would be surprised if either of those two teams actually get into the postseason. But on the flip side, I look at this Pelicans-Thunder matchup. I love it.
So, which one do you want to start with? Let's talk about Toronto. So, after we saw Boston basically dispatch Toronto pretty easily in back-to-back games, like you said, they don't have enough. Toronto doesn't have enough shot making. They just don't have enough size on the perimeter. So against the elite teams, they're probably toast. But against Chicago, I'm going to go with them over Chicago, because Chicago's been, you know, without Lonzo Ball, everything has kind of unraveled. And their three main guys aren't a good fit together. And, you know, DeRozan, and they're just an odd duck fit in Chicago. I kind of want to see them put out of their misery. And Toronto, look, long athletes. All it takes is two guys getting hot in Siakam and Fred VanVleet, and you might have something, because they have the defenders to make life hell for almost anybody. So, again, get them to the playoffs. New season. Let's see how it goes. Right? So that would be interesting. At the other end, who are we talking about?
We're talking about New Orleans and OKC.
Again, and you know what? New Orleans, we talked about Minnesota. Think about this. New Orleans tied themselves to a star who can't play more than 30 games in a season, and who pulls a hamstring and misses literally like 50 games. It must be one of the most frustrating feelings to be a Pelicans fan right now, because Zion came out like gangbusters, and again, is gone when they need him the most. But we'll say this. They've been showing some athleticism on the wing. That kid Murphy, Brandon Ingram is shown to be like a prime time, you know, almost not a superstar scorer, but up there with some of the best. CJ has the vet savvy and the scoring, the playmaking. They catch you at the wrong time, and you know they might make a, you know, put a scare into somebody. And again, same thing with OKC. All up and down that roster, they got 6'8", 6'9", guys who can handle. They all attack off the dribble. They attack off the catch in a way that throws teams off. They have some timely scoring, and then Shea's been playing like a MVP kind of guy. So you put athletes and shooters around him, you never know what can happen in a short series. So that's going to be interesting. You're absolutely right. The West is definitely has more pop than the East, but both of those, this is why they have the play-in. I was kind of lukewarm at it at first, but it does provide some extra intrigue and interest for the league.
Yeah, I was totally against the play-in when it first came about, but you're right. I mean, it does give us a little bit of intrigue, and it really made the last week of the season almost can't-miss basketball. With that being said, we got to talk about a team that did not make the play-in round. It was the Dallas Mavericks. The fact that this team goes 38-44, they finished losing eight out of their last 10, if I remember correctly. It was a dumpster fire for this team after acquiring Kyrie Irving. I have to get your thoughts on Dallas and also the way the season came to an end, where they looked at this on paper and said, we're not going to make a deep run anyway, tank, and let's make sure we do everything we can to keep our highly protected first-round pick.
What a bumbling, stumbling end to the season, and we can't even blame this all on Kyrie. This is something that's been systemic in the making for Dallas as far as years past, starting with trading for Porzingis, and then when they moved on from Porzingis, and just not paying Brunson, which is the biggest one, right? That might be an inflection point for their franchise that we'll always look at. They could have had him for a fraction of what they paid for Kyrie, and he's been great. So, and again, you know what? If I have a certain stone in my house, and I have problems with asthma, and I put it in your house, and you all of a sudden have breathing problems you never had before, and we put it somewhere else, I don't know why, but something with that stone is causing issues. Kyrie is that stone. I think he's a wondrous basketball player. He's great to watch. Everywhere he's gone, if LeBron James isn't in the building, there's been something. And they were in fourth place, they got Kyrie Irving, and now they are out of the playoffs. And Kyrie, his numbers looked amazing. He had some breathtaking moments there. The team fell off a cliff. And it's the lack of chemistry from the guys they moved, right, that's out. And then he didn't bring anything to the table. He doesn't make things better. Sooner or later, we got to just call it what it is. But he'll always get paid. And it's going to be amazing to see what happens next year. Dallas has some real big issues. And it's more than Luka's great. And other than that, everything else should be on the table. But that team is just a mess.
When you look at Kyrie, what you said, you're on point once again, as usual. But when you look at Kyrie, I almost feel as if Dallas has backed themselves into a corner where you almost have to pay Kyrie. I truly feel this way. Unless there is some huge drama, some huge conflict going on with Kyrie and Luka behind the scenes that we're really not aware about, I feel like you can't just let him walk. And so when you say Kyrie's going to get paid, I honestly believe Dallas is going to be the team that pays him.
And you know what's amazing? The owner, Cuban, came out already and says, "Oh, they're like, what?" He's like, "Oh, well, there's always gonna be a point where it gets too expensive and a price you're not gonna pay." And it blew my mind to hear him say that, because there is a chance he's gonna try to lowball Kyrie. And the minute you lowball Kyrie and you disrespect him, which we know about him and his inflated sense of self, not saying right or wrong, but it's not gonna fly. So, and you're absolutely right. The one silver lining, and a Mavs blogger, I saw him say this, and it makes some kind of sense, but it's very much almost like sour grapes. If Kyrie does walk, it's only a very small few moves they have to make to clear max cap space to be able to sign someone, which they've never been able to do anyway. So I don't know what the whole point of that would be. But yeah, if they don't re-sign Kyrie Irving after all this, then maybe Adam Silver has to step in and do something about that franchise, because that would be just, like, you know, malfeasance of the highest order.
James, before I let you go, it's time for a prediction. We got to get a prediction out of you, because by the time you and I talk next week, we're going to be set to go for the actual playoffs 1-8. Who do you like in the NBA Finals?
Oh, dude, not even the first round. You're going to take me all the way to the finals?
Yep.
Holy crap.
Yep. I'm taking it right now. I got to know, who do you have in the finals?
So, just for nostalgia's sake, and obviously I'm biased, I'm going to say Celtics and Warriors round two.
I like it. Here's the thing. I'm going back and forth between the Lakers and the Warriors. I think whoever comes out of that semi, I think they play in the semifinals. I think whoever comes out of that goes to the NBA championship. Just because of the way that meeting in Boston ended, give me Lakers-Celtics. I'm going to roll with it. I think LeBron and AD stay healthy. I think the Lakers beat the Warriors in a 7-game set. I think the winner of that 6-7 matchup in the West gets there. I still believe Boston's a team to beat. I still think this is the best team in the NBA.
I love it, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, I can be a little bit of a negative Nelly, but I feel pretty good about Boston right now. As long as Jaylen Brown's hand is A-OK and they're all about 100%, I like our chances against anybody in the league.
Well, I look forward to talking with you about this next week. James, before I let you go, tell us about the Dunk Tales Pod.
Me and my boy JP, guy I know for almost 20 years, we're actually going to record tonight. Just a pod of two friends who think they know basketball, talking like they know basketball. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on every streaming platform. I'm Snotty Drippin' on Twitter, and you'll join me for the playoff experience. Let's go.
James, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week.
All right, brother. Always fun. Talk to you soon.
Let's pause for just a moment. We'll come back with the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.